This is your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and we have, of course, had the big race this week, the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday, and to unpack it all, I'm joined this morning by John Letts, my horse racing expert. How are you this morning, John?
Yeah, good, thanks, Tom. Yeah, it's been a very interesting week. I can tell you from my experience myself, it's been a life-changing week for a couple of jockeys. Young Lachlan King, who won the Victorian Derby on Saturday, and young Jai McNeil, who won the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday. There's just two life-changing races for these young guys. It's great to see the young guys winning these races. Mm. I just love to see them little fellas coming along and, you know, starting off their careers. Jai McNeil's been around, you know, for not very long, but a very, very competent rider and thoroughly deserved. But young Lockie King, he's the son of Stephen King, who won a Melbourne Cup and a couple of derbies. So, and his father before that, his grandfather actually, he was a jockey. So he's a third generation jockey and a nice young guy.
And how did the Melbourne Cup go? Did it live up to your expectations?
Yes, it certainly did. The winner, I thought, was very good. It's very hard to lead all the way in a Melbourne Cup. Twilight Payment did that. This is how the horses from overseas race, though, because they do actually just bowl along. They never restrain their horses overseas. They let them roll along. And Twilight Payment, I thought the great part about the race was with John McNeil, the way he rated that horse. And if I can explain that to you, Jordan, he rated that horse to say a couple of lengths in front, just at a speed where no one would go up and take him on. And he just went at a speed where everybody said, oh, well, he'll come back. But he
never came back.
No, he never came back. They all kept waiting for him. But the thing was, he never came back. And it was great to see young Jai win it, because he's one of those lads. He rides 6 days a week, you know, 7 days a week sometimes. He goes to all the country meetings. He goes around all over Victoria to ride, and thoroughly deserved. But I was very excited for him, because I know how it's going to change his life now.
For sure. And, yep. Of course, there was some sad news with the Melbourne Cup as well, with Anthony Van Dyck. One of the horses, yes, you predicted as well for that was, had the potential to win the race, was unfortunately put down afterwards.
Yeah, well, that was unfortunate, Jordan, because this is the sort of thing that happens in sport. We get it in every sport where there's animals or people concerned. I mean, people don't get put down, of course, but we do have injuries and, you know, they're career-ending injuries. Unfortunately for horses, when they do break a bone or break a leg or shatter legs, it's not just a break; it's a real, a shatter. And I've seen horses where this horse had the injury to his fetlock joint, and it's just like if you was to put your hands around that fetlock joint, it's just like holding a bag of marbles. And there's no known cure for it. You know, what we can't. And a guy explained it to me once, Jordan, that horses' bones don't knit like humans. We've got marrow in our bones, and they've got like a chalky substance. And he said the horses only have to, you know, jump away sideways or do something which you can't tell them to stand still, and it will start it off again. So, you know, it'll won't set. There was a horse called Mighty Kingdom years ago. Now, he spent 2 to 3 months. He broke his leg, and they tried to save him. He spent 2 to 3 months in water, just with he had a couple of straps underneath him, one under behind his elbows, and then the other one at the back of him, of course, to hold him up. He stayed in a water tank for a couple of months, and they thought they had it. They got him out, and he jumped around on the first day and re-broke it.
No,
so they don't heal very. When you get a horse, sometimes a horse will break a bone, but it won't break it. It'll just like a splint, you know. But and then it's horizontal, and it will mend. But sometimes you get breaks that are just unavoidable. And I know that, you know, this horse is a very valuable horse, and he wouldn't have, the owners definitely wouldn't have wanted to have him euthanized, but that's just the sad part about racing and the sad part about all sports, because there are injuries in all sports, isn't there?
Yeah, it's just we don't put down footballers when they get a concussion or anything like that.
No. Sometimes, actually, when you bring that up, sometimes, actually, some of those injuries can go on for years and years, can't they?
Mm.
I mean, from injuries, and I know, and you know footballers, and you know guys that have been footballers, and they have had injuries over the years. And, I mean, when you're a young guy, the injuries don't worry you. But when you get older, you know, with things like rheumatism and that sort of thing, and... you get those things, and they can go on for years and years and years. But there's always a risk when you put yourself in sport, and you're at the top level. Well, not even at the top level, because you can get those injuries, and they will reoccur later. Not as bad, but the aftermath, more or less, is just I mean, jockeys have falls, and then for years you can suffer from different things like arthritis and those things, and they'll always come back because the injury's been there.
Of course, it wasn't all doom and gloom after the Melbourne Cup. Kangaroo Island also had some very good news.
Oh, yes, we got a terrific last night. This will be released, I think, be released today or tomorrow. Excuse me. The Kangaroo Island, the community over there is $100,000 richer today, thanks to the Victoria Racing Club's Lexus Melbourne Cup Tour. We went over there. We had the draw over there for the barrier positions, and how it works is there's 39 towns and cities most years that we do with the Lexus Melbourne Cup Tour, but this year there was, because of the COVID, there was 24. It happens every year. Some towns have to miss out, but there is a draw for it, and they get the chance. Out of the 24 horses, the mayor from the town will draw a horse, barrier, and luckily this year for Kangaroo Island, they drew toilet payment, so they get $50,000 from the Victorian Racing Club, and also now the owners of the winner of toilet payment have also donated $50,000 towards the Kangaroo Island's nominated their charity as well, the Royal Flying Doctors. So there's $100,000 to go to Kangaroo Island community and for the Royal Flying Doctors. So I think that's just fantastic of the club to do it. Not only thinking of themselves, but the owners as well. I think it was great that when they heard about it, they said, well, you've done the $50,000, we will match it. So there's $100,000 to go to Kangaroo Island. And that was great. And I could tell you they would be very, very excited. And I know the mayor and Michael Pengilly and Mark Turner, they were very, very excited when they found out that they'd won it. So how do you think they'd feel?
Well, I mean, considering Kangaroo Islands have gone through a lot in just the last year, so this is very good news indeed. And I'm sure they're very excited to see Twilight Payments cross the finish line.
Yeah, Jordan, it's interesting because the statistics on the Melbourne Cup, Barrier 18 is the barrier that you really don't want to draw in the Melbourne Cup because it's never won it in 160 years. Every other barrier's won it except Barrier 18. But what about this for the hoodoo? On the morning of the race, the horse that drew Barrier 18, King of Leograns, was scratched. So he was scratched and he drew Barrier 18. So the hoodoo is still there on gate 18. I don't know why, but every other barrier has won the Melbourne Cup except Barrier 18. So
I'll keep that in mind. Barrier 18 is the unlucky number.
Yeah, well, don't back it or don't own it. Don't own the horse, yeah. Hey, Jordan, what did you think of the election in America at the moment? Did you see that guy walking in amongst the crowd the other day? And it's quite legal. He's got a license, but he was walking through there with an automatic rifle.
Yeah, especially with, tensions are extremely high around politics in America, and having an open carry state, you're allowed to carry your gun around, but it doesn't make you, it doesn't mean you should. What aim do you have to go into a polling booth with a gun?
Yes, I'm just glad we live in Australia and just hope we never ever comes here because we don't want that sort of thing here. I mean, if we can have peaceful protests, okay, but this is, you know what's going to happen. After this election, it's going to be someone. There's going to be a lot of people injured, maybe killed, and they might be innocent bystanders. Which that's what worries me because they could be people just there in the wrong place at the wrong time.
And like all these businesses have boarded up their storefronts as well, just in anticipation of people going to the streets because they're not happy with the election result.
Yeah, I mean, they've just got to do it. So it's costing them their livelihood, and who knows what's going to happen? I mean, they're burning places down. They're burning places down. Bernie, how would you be having your car parked out in the street? You wouldn't want your car parked out in the street. You'd like to come out and it's on fire.
Yeah, I know. And, I mean, like, Americans, even when, like, say, their football team wins the Super Bowl, they'll go out into the street and riot because they're happy. So it's just, like, it's just something that Americans like to do, go out and destroy stuff. But I feel like there's going to be a fair bit more passion behind it with such a polarized political community at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. The last thing to touch on before we go to the races, Jordan, is and you would have read about this week, how can a person put those little dogs in a rubbish bin?
That's cruel.
Now, those people, if our justice system has got any gaps, when they get them, jail. Don't fool around. Jail. Jail, heavy fine, never to own a pet again. That is just plain cruelty, and just let them out amongst the crowd. Let the crowd get hold of them. That's what you want to do. But they might never find them. That's the sad part about it, isn't it?
Yeah,
but you see those beautiful little pups.
Yeah, and you got to take responsibility for your own pet, for one. This is why they tell you to get your pet de-sexed so that you don't get any surprise puppies or surprise kittens, and then you know you don't have to go throw them so cruelly into the bin.
No. And all you have to do is pick up the phone, ring the RSPCA, and they will come and get the dogs. And it's not something that's that's beyond your control. You can do it. You can just you ring up the RSPCA, and I know people that have had dogs, and they say, look, we're at an age where we can't keep the dog anymore. The dog is very old as well. We ring up the RSPCA. They come along. They do a wonderful job. A lot of times when these other people that like this, the people that have done this, they'll go to court, and all the judge will say is, "Oh, look, don't do it again, naughty boy or naughty girl." And that's just not on. Yeah, that's just not on.
Mm-hmm. We are running out of time this morning, John. So we'll just quickly go to your horse racing tips. What are you looking at this weekend?
Well, looking at Morphett again, and Jordan, it's been pretty tough over the last few weeks. Getting horses at prices, but we're going to have a crack at Morphett tomorrow in race one. I like number one, Gulf of Sewers. It's about $3. Race two, I like number four, Illusion, about $3. Race three, I like number two, Deep Force, is about $4.55. In race four, I like number one, Von Costa Glass, $13. Race five, number one, Viduca, is about $2.50. Race six, number three, a horse called Amber Dazzle, about $17. Race seven, number two, Renegade. Race eight, number three, Wounded Sire, a Soldier. I think this horse will run a very big race. He's $7. In race nine, I like number one, Star Hills. Over to Flemington we go, Jordan. And in race one, I like number five, Vegas Knight. He's about $8. Race two, number four, a horse called Tommy Gold. Looks very promising. About $3. Race three, number five, Riddle Me That, $10. Race four, number five, Right You Are, $4. Race five, number two, $3. In race six, I like Jamie Carr here on a horse called Zaturi. It's about $10. Race six, number six. Race seven, I like number 10, She's Ideal, about $8. Race 8, I like number 9, Arcadia Queen, $3.50. And in the last, I like number 15, Plaquette, a horse that we have tipped before. It's about $5. Race 9, number 15. Quickly through them, Morphettville, race 1, number 1. Race 2, number 4. Race 3, number 2. Race 4, number 1. Race 5, number 1. Race 6, number 3. Race 7, number 2. Race 8, number 3. Race 9, number 1. We shoot over to Flemington. Race 1, number 5. Race 2, number 4. Race 3, number 5. Race 4, number 5. Race 5, number 2. Race 6, number 6. And put Bouviac in for Quinella there. Race 6, put 6 and 3 in for Quinella there. Race 7, number 10. Race 8, number 9. And race 9, number 15. So hopefully we win this week. And last day of carnival. And I've had a successful carnival, even though they haven't had any people there. It just seems strange, though, doesn't it, Jordan, looking at the racetrack, and there's no one there.
Yeah, I know, but Victoria, they've gone six days now without a new case, so I dare say that by this time next year, definitely we'll have people at the races.
Fabulous. That's good news. Good news.
No worries. Well, John, thank you so much for joining me again.
Okay, Jordan, and we'll speak to you next week.
We'll do. That was John Letts, my horse racing expert, on your Classic It's Breakfast.